So good evening, everybody. Welcome to Whitley Lodge Baptist Church, and welcome to the second of our Holy Week services, our Maundy Thursday service. I think an important part of Holy Week, really, a very poignant and time to reflect, to remember, to think, be challenged. We think about the night when Jesus was betrayed. We think about him serving those disciples by washing their feet and breaking the bread, the friends and betrayer alike, and yet he served them and he fed them and he serves us and he feeds us tonight. So let's just be still for a moment. In our service tonight, there's going to be a lot of stillness, a lot of quiet, a lot of reflection, a lot of space. And I think it's a good night for that. So come and remember the love of Jesus, gathered around a table with his friends. And we come to receive from Christ the bread of life and the cup of blessing. So come, receive the tender service that Christ offers each of us. And we come to receive the challenge of the new commandment to love one another. And we come and contemplate the many temptations of a world that would entice us, like Judas, to betray the trust of a suffering God. And we come to travel with Jesus in the way of the cross, so that our Easter Hallelujah will take on new meaning. Let us worship together. Let us reflect on the life of Christ, that we might remember what discipleship may cost, what it may reap. We're going to listen now as scripture is read. First, Reg is going to come and read from the Old Testament, and then Angie from the New Testament. Thank you.
Our first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 12. It's the Lord's instructions to the Israelites on that first Passover night. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, he must share it with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or from the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until the morning. If some of it is left till the morning, you must burn it. And this is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord." This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and it's 1 to 17. It's entitled, Jesus Washes His Disciples' Feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, Not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen.
How do you use your hands? Hands can tell you so much about a person. Vaguely remember one of my granddads, but I remember the other one a lot more. My dad's dad died when I was just a child. He was a carpenter. And in fact, he made the chair. I was quite proud of the fact he made the chairs in my first primary or my first school that I went to, the infant school I went to. My granddad made the chairs of that school, which I was proud to say. And you didn't need to ask him what he did for a living. You just looked at his hands. He had all his fingers, but just about. But you knew he was a carpenter when you saw his hands. My other granddad, I knew more, and he died around the same time I met this lady. And not Glenda, so. I really only knew my granddad as a retired man. His hands were always dirty because he was a keen gardener and a great horticulturalist and had an allotment, and he had literally had green fingers on his hands. But before he retired, he worked for the railway, and he was a line tapper, which meant he was up early in the morning, and he patrolled up and down the railway lines around sort of Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire, with a long sledgehammer with a long handle, and slapped the rail to get it straight. And again, you didn't need to tell what he did, didn't need to know what he did for a living. You could see his hands, and you know those were hands that are used to doing a good hard day's work, unlike these soft, delicate things that have never done a hard day's work in their life. You know, we use our hands to convey everything, don't we? Our mood, our intentions, our needs, our shame. We give, we take, we love, we hold, we lean on things. with our hands. Our hands tell the world a lot about us. I was interested today to see King Charles has recorded some words, hasn't he, for the Maundy Thursday service, and his words are all about praising those who offer the hand of friendship. I think that's really poignant today. So how do you use your hands? Well, tonight, I think it's quite possibly, and I said it earlier really, I think one of the most intimate and yet powerful church services of the year. And to me, in this one special evening, through the scripture readings, the beautiful words we listen to, the words we sing, and the sharing of the Lord's sacred meal, I think we can see most clearly the hand of God at work. And today, and throughout the history of the world. And tonight we recall the history of the Passover, in which God's hand leads the Hebrew people out of bondage of slavery through the blood of an unblemished lamb. And tonight we recall the history of the Last Supper, in which God's hand leads the disciples and you and I out of years of slavery to sin and to death through the body and blood of another spotless lamb. Tonight we recollect again the servant hands of God who washes the disciples' feet, the good teacher demonstrating by example the way of humility that glorifies God and is a model for all those who would believe and follow. And tonight is one holy night when the sacraments, the mysteries of the invisible God made visible, God's working hands come together so poignantly in these last few hours before the shame and the horror of the cross. However, just remembering doesn't do justice to the events of the Passover and the washing of the feet during the Last Supper, both saving events that have an ongoing and a present significance for us believers right now. The passages of scripture that we had shared this evening are not elaborate instructions to simply serve as reminders of the past. They are real events that have new and fresh meaning to each and every generation of searchers of Jesus Christ now and in the future. First, we need to travel back some 1,500 years before Jesus Christ shared his supper to a time much different from today, yet a time yet not so different from today. The Hebrews, a small, insignificant nation, had fallen into slavery, and they lived in slavery for so long, 400 years, that some probably had no idea that things could be any different, and they just figured this is the way it's supposed to be. And others have desired a freedom of some type, but it had been so long that if there was a God they'd heard about from their ancestors, this God must have forgotten about them, or worse yet, didn't care. But God did not forget about them. And more importantly, God did care. Slavery and bondage was not the way of life, not the way that life was supposed to be. Sin and evil are against God. So God's hand sets in motion dramatic action to provide freedom from this sin and evil. And God sends Moses to the Egyptian Pharaoh, demanding to set his people free. And each time God sent miraculous plagues on the land, mysteries of God. They were mysteries that could not be explained, but contained the work of God's hand leading to freedom. Anyway, each time the Pharaoh said no. You know this, don't you? But it's good to hear it again. Before Moses' 10th and final visit to Pharaoh, God tells the Hebrew slave to be ready, to move quickly, and they're to eat unleavened bread, because there would be no time for it to rise, and they are to kill a blemish-free lamb and then smear the lamb's blood above the door of their house. And that night, after Pharaoh said again, no, an angel of death passed through Egypt, and the next morning the firstborn male of each household was found dead, except those whose homes had the lamb's blood smeared over the door. Here the angel of death passed over. So the Hebrews are released from the bondage of slavery, and they pass safely through the waters of the Red Sea and set out for a new life of freedom with God's commandments in hand. And now, through the celebration of the Passover, the bread and the blood of the Lamb become symbols of promised freedom from sin and evil. The work of God's hand is revealed. So now we fast forward this 1,500 years later and 2,000 years ago, where the work of God's hands in the Passover is recreated in a spectacular manner. Here is the spotless, unblemished Lamb, the Son of God. And it's now the hands of Jesus that take the bread and break it and offer it as his body. It's now the hands of Jesus that hold the cup and bless it and share it as his blood. Because it's the last night before those beautiful hands have nails driven clean through them for the sake of a broken world, for the sake of you and I. It is these loving, pierced hands of Jesus Christ offering you and I his body and blood through the bread and the wine, promising you and I deliverance from the bondage of sin and darkness. But like the Hebrews, some of us have lived in slavery for so long that we have no idea things could be any different. Others may have longed for this freedom, but figure that God has forgotten us, or worse yet, doesn't care. God did not forget you. And better yet, God does care about you. Slavery to sin and evil is not the way life is meant to be. So God comes to live among us in the person of Jesus in a way that cannot be explained and becomes that spotless, unblemished Lamb. And with his blood spread on the doorposts of our hearts, we can be released from the bondage of slavery. We can pass safely through the waters of baptism and set out in a new life of freedom, strengthened by the body and blood. And yet, if we are true to ourselves, we still do not follow the commandments given from God's holy hand. We deny and we flee from the pierced hands of the spotless Lamb. One would think enough is enough, but God's love is unconditional. Jesus, right before his crucifixion, he ties a towel around himself and he begins to wash or to baptize the disciples' feet. He washes even Judas's feet, the one who betrays. He washes even our feet, the ones who still betray. He washes or baptizes the dirt of sinfulness out of our stained lives once again, so you and I do not have to exist in bondage and slavery to the evils in the world. The hands of Jesus that wash the disciples' feet are not only a kind and humble act of forgiveness. The hands of Jesus that washed the disciples' feet are a sign, a sacrament, if you may, of how we are to live. It's a visible action joined with a new commandment that we are to love one another just as Jesus has loved us. These are holy hands commanding that we serve one another with humility each and every single day. The hands of Jesus breaking the bread and pouring the wine are not only a last meal of remembering and a time of fellowship, it's a meal for all the ages and the gift of Jesus' very self, his broken and bloody body each time tasting like love and forgiveness. So friends, the hands of Jesus are holy hands, hands of a friend, hands of a saviour, the hands of God. And the amazing thing is the work of God's hands comes not when we are at our best, but when we are at our worst. Always, always granting us freedom from whatever holds us in slavery and bondage. Those nails that pierce the hands of Jesus are not only the cruel consequence of an innocent person dying at the hands of a sinful world, it's how you and I are saved. Those found with the blood of the Lamb on their hearts will not be found dead. The angel of death will pass over. So thanks be to God for the hands of Jesus on this holy night. As the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. How do you use your hands?